Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And there is no long.
No day. Long.
We He's long the long passed. That disappeared.
Yes. Today. Invisible long.
He just texted us and was like, I'm sitting this one out, guys. No reason. Maybe he has like...
Man down.
Maybe he has a secret girlfriend.
Maybe.
You know.
Maybe he met somebody and is like, I just can't do it.
There's a chance I could get some tonight. So he's like, fuck it. No wiener fest with the dudes.
New year, new long.
You know, just gonna listen to this show and be like, fuck those guys. Because, long's very, you gotta watch how you joke with a man because he gets, like, all kung fu-y and shit. He's gonna really kick my ass now. Just play with you, brother. You know I love you, long.
Yeah. We're just poking fun. It's like, you take off, we joke about you, I take off, a bunch of Chris Evans jokes.
But I never miss an episode.
It's true. You're not allowed to miss an episode.
It's certainly recorded by it'd be kind of weird.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, we're just here to record an episode at your house. Don't mind us.
Yeah.
Oh, what are y'all doing? Rebel Radio episode 195? And wait, I'm not... What? Yeah, I'll be like...
Why didn't I know about this?
Like, that's kind of strange. It's 2020.
It is. It's 2020.
It's the fucking future. Is that weird?
That is weird.
But we don't have flying cars.
Wasn't Akira 2020?
It might have been.
I think it was.
Yeah. We don't have flying cars. We don't have laser guns.
Nope.
We don't have shoelaces to tie themselves. Hoverboards.
Yeah.
The future sucks.
It kind of does.
Instead, we're at the brink of World War III, apparently.
Apparently. Like,
this could be the last Rebel Radio ever. Like, you never know.
I mean, hey, you never know, man, when... You don't know when it's your time.
Shit.
Disintegrated.
So we're 3 days into the year, and guess what, people? The world still sucks sometimes.
Yeah.
But that's why we do podcasts, because it's something for you to escape for... An hour. Last couple episodes have been almost 2 hours. We brought y'all some escapism lately.
Oh, yeah.
And,
we brought it.
But 2019 is now behind us. Thank the fucking gods.
Yes.
That year sucked, and it's time for a new beginning. And we're going to have a good year. We are going to, in 2 weeks, our 100th film, since we rebooted the show, episode 181 will be our 100th film, and we are going to have a guest. We're going to have Rob from Random Ramblings. So Rob, who is a Marine himself. And he's going to come talk Saving Private Ryan with us in a couple weeks. So we decide for 100th film, we're going to go a little serious on you guys. Do a very serious but important film. But we're also going to have some fun that episode, too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be fun with Rob on the show. And we are coming up on episode 200 this summer. Today is 179.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 21 weeks till episode 200.
Man.
And guess what? It's going to be the week after Comicpalooza. So Comicpalooza 2020, we will be there again. It'll be our sixth straight year. We'll be doing another live show from there, and that'll be episode 199. So it's all happening. We got some big stuff planned. In March, we're going to do a sequel month. These are movies that are going to be sequels to movies we've already done on the show, but we're going to do the sequels.
Yeah.
Because we did part one, so we're going to do the part twos. And, excuse me. So that should be fun. And don't want to throw up on the podcast. I don't know, some nasty indigestion there. People are like, ugh, gross, Mark, thanks.
Yeah, don't like pea soup everywhere.
And and in a few weeks, there's a big Comicpalooza 365 event that we may be at representing. I'll be there in some capacity.
Yeah.
Just don't know if Rayo is going to be a complete part of it yet. More details on that next week's episode.
Yes.
So lots happening in 2020. Probably another Misfit Toy show in our future, too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And go hang out with Daniel and those guys over at Misfit Toys and do another live show from there. But lots of big stuff in 2020. It's just beginning, y'all. What are you laughing as I say y'all?
Y'all.
We are in Texas, man.
That's right. Texas.
Yeah, I can't help your half fucking Mexican white ass. Don't know how to say y'all.
There's a guy, one of my employees that got in trouble because I guess a driver was delivering our truck, and I guess there was some issue over part of the delivery, and he told the driver, how about I kick your ass? And I was like, what if he said that in a Texas accent? I just imagined Hank Hill saying, how about I kick your ass?
Well, but that's the problem with shows like King of the Hill. Everyone that doesn't live here thinks we talk like that.
That's true.
But we don't. But we... Certain words we say, you hear our accents.
Yeah.
People say I have an accent. I don't hear it. But then when I go back and listen to our show, I hear it. I'm like, wow, I sound like that. So I guess I do have an accent on certain things I say.
You're like, I thought I sounded like Michael Bublé.
Yeah, or, sexy or something.
Yes. Insert sexy voice here.
You know, I don't quite sound Matthew McConaughey sexy. But, you know, I've got that Texas swag.
He's probably the best of the Texas accents. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. We got some of the country music stars. They got that twang going.
Oh, yeah. George.
Yeah.
Garth.
So, you know, yeah. We can't all be sexy. I mean, you know.
No, it'd be too much. explode. Too much sexiness.
Right. Lots of sexiness in Texas. We do have sexy women in Texas.
We do.
That's for sure.
We do. They're definitely, yeah, a high caliber.
So how was your New Year's?
It was good. Bought a little bit of fireworks. I limited myself to like $30. I know, you know, Erica, friend of the show, she always spends like, I don't know how much she spent. I'm going to have to ask how much she spent on fireworks, but it seems like she always gets a lot. I usually get like $150 worth of fireworks and get like a nice little spread. Yeah. But this year I was like, you know, another kid on the way, can't really spend that kind of money on fireworks. And you're just blowing up your money, essentially.
Pretty much.
And in style, but, you know, it's still blowing up your money. So, just got, you know, a couple things, sparklers, and had the kids play with the sparklers and stuff. I made mimosas, and I had a bottle and a half of champagne by myself.
Damn. I drank 3 whiskey and cokes and got absolutely no buzz because I had other parties hanging out that, just brought shit down that night.
Oh, yeah. Sobered
specifically
you up.
One person, but we won't say their name.
Yes.
And but otherwise, it was okay. My friend Brian, who's been on the show a couple times, mm-hmm. Our friend Brian from the 501st, he went and bought some fireworks for the kids. And so we shot some bang bangs off a little bit and let the kids watch a little fireworks. And it was cool. I made some excellent ribs for eating and some pulled pork and really wanted to get a good buzz, but it just didn't fucking happen. It just wasn't happening, you know? Yeah. And, but my other friend, Irish, she came by too and hung out. So we had a few people, a little bonfire going out front. So it wasn't all bad. There was just one person that kept me from getting that buzz on that one.
What was that one person?
Yeah. And that one motherfucker.
Yep.
There you go. I'm cussing him. Sean, you're going to be like, damn, I'm going to do that drinking game to Mark again.
Another shot.
10 minutes of the show, I'm fucked up.
Yeah. There it is again. It's 2 shots.
Hey, you know, double. I'm not making any New Year's resolutions to go to stop cussing or nothing. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
I save the non-cussing shows when we do Misfit Toys, Comp Blues. I have my shows where I have to behave.
Exactly.
You know? And, but believe me, you want cussing. I mean, listen to Kevin Smith. The guy cusses all the time. Maybe that's why I cuss, since he's my podcast idol. You know. And
listening to Fat Man on Batman, picking up the bad habits.
Exactly. Yeah. I could cuss as much as him, and I don't. So, but, yeah, well. New year, same work. But new beginnings of things, too.
At least you're honest. Some people say new year, new me. You're like, hey, it's the same me, guys.
But you know what? I'm starting to finally, you know, you're in your 30s now, so you're probably getting closer to it. But you start realizing, like, you get to that point. You always wonder when you get to that point where you just say, fuck it, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get there. Like, there's still things I care about. Like, I want my kids to behave properly, and I want to present myself as a likable, nice person, because I am like that. But there are certain things you just don't fucking care anymore. You don't give a shit about people's opinions on The Last Jedi. You don't give a shit about people's opinions on how you may dress or how your car looks or any of that. You start to get to that point. I'm starting to get there. I'm like, I really don't fucking care. You know? So, and I think it's when you get in your 40s, you start getting to that point. So I'm thinking when I get in my 50s, I'm just really not going to give a shit. You know? So, but that's okay. But it is what it is.
That's funny.
So, on to the show. Officially, official beginning. I like our prologues.
Yeah.
Where we chit chat, you know. And I read somewhere that people don't always like that on podcasts, but I think it brings out our personalities.
Absolutely.
And if you don't like it, fast forward 10 minutes, motherfucker, and listen to the show then. So, you know. But let's do download this where we talk, we watch, stream, checked out, played this week. There's no more Mandalorian episodes,
no.
So we've got to move on to other things. I'll let you start. What did you check out this week?
Yeah, I bought 2 movies that I did not watch yet.
What's the point?
Yeah, I know. You know, we had done Under the Red Hood last week, and so I went ahead and watched Batman Bad Blood, just because that's and it had some cool fight scenes in there. We had talked about Dick Grayson fighting Batman. I was like, I want to see that scene again, so I went and watched it again. And I realized that they had some sales going on, so I picked up Batman Hush, and I picked up John Wick 3, Parabellum. Have not watched them yet, because my son wanted to watch Captain Underpants, so I watched Captain Underpants. And what? Oh, and I
Captain Underpants is funny.
Yeah, it is funny. At least it's funny. And I got a couple games in from GameStop, downloaded them, some nostalgic games from 2003, 2004, KOTOR 1 and 2. So I had to make sure that my son was introduced to him, so introducing him to old RPG games, and he was surprisingly entertained by it. Played it for a good hour, and got rolling on it. Had to teach him that, hey, you have to save every so often.
No auto-save of those old
games. No auto-save. So he got us to a certain extent, didn't realize that he was going to have to backtrack after he died. And so he had to learn the hard way. But that's pretty much what I did.
Yeah, I did see Rise of Skywalker again today. And I loved it just as much as I did the first time. You know, there's a lot more to like in that movie than people realize. I don't understand the hate for it. I really enjoy it. I was able to sit back the second time without any expectations and just watch it, and I still loved it, man. I think it's awesome. I think the Emperor's a little creepy. It's like, why did they make him so zombie-like?
He's really kind of scary. Almost like a horror movie.
But overall, man, I think it's solid as hell. I really have no problems with the fan service or anything they did in it. I'm all for it. You know, I think it's really well done. And I like it, man. I just, I realized, like, I love Star Wars, man. It's just, that's what my life is, and I like it a lot. I'm looking forward to watching Rise of Skywalker over and over again once it comes out on home video. And, but other than that, I've been diving into Lost in Space on Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm about 3 or 4 episodes in. It's actually pretty good. I'm really liking it. It's family friendly, so I can watch in front of the kids. That's good. It's got contrivedness to it, where you know, okay, you can see that coming, but it doesn't ruin the story because it's well crafted. It's got a family element. Of course, anybody doesn't know the original Lost in Space. It's about the Robinsons. They get lost in space, and it's about their adventures. And this is the same concept, only much more modernized. And I think that's why it works. Is the family element in the show makes the show work. And Parker Posey plays Dr. Smith, and so it's a female Dr. Smith instead of an evil one.
Oh, that's cool.
Robbie the robot in this is a quite menacing compared to the other versions of the robot over the years. But I like it so far. I really like it. I saw they did a second season, and it was one of those. I remember I watched the pilot episode a while back, and I didn't really get into it because I was like, oh, this is going to be awfully expensive. Netflix isn't going to continue it. But now that they did do a second season, I've heard it's very likely to get renewed for a third. Okay, so maybe we'll get a complete story out of that. And that's the problem with these shows now. You're getting this stuff, and you don't know if it's going to make it another season. Do you want to commit to it?
Yeah.
Look what happened with our Marvel shows and Daredevil and all that. It's tough to commit to these things. And then someone's like, well, you're paying for it anyway. You might as well watch it. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm less disappointed if I don't watch it and I never watch it and it gets canceled.
Yeah.
Then to watch it and really like it, then they end up not making more of it. You know, but so far, so good with Lost in Space. What else? I let my oldest watch Terminator 2. It's the first time he ever saw it.
There we go.
These kids nowadays are hard to impress. He's like, yeah, that's pretty good. I'm like, what do you mean it's pretty good? You go, I'm like, but you know, it's funny, man. I noticed something in Terminator 2 I never thought about before. Okay.
Yeah.
Why, when the T-800, when John takes off, the T-1000, his mission is John. Why does he even go after Sarah and pin her to the wall and say, call him, when he could have called him himself? That whole thing is pointless. Think about it.
He had to touch her.
But he does.
Yeah.
And then he says to call her. He could have done it right there. But why even touch her? His mission was John. As soon as John left, why even bother with Sarah? She had no weapon. She was hurt. There's nothing she could do. I find it's a small flaw. It's a small plot point. But it doesn't make sense. Because T-1000's mission is John. As soon as he separated from Sarah, why is he even bothered with Sarah? Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was watching. I was like, this whole scene's kind of pointless.
Hmm.
You know? And, but, you know, it still holds up well, the movie. I mean, obviously, it's one of the great sci-fi movies of our time.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so Michael, though, he was like, yeah, it's okay. I'm like, what do you mean it's okay? He goes, well, it was good. You know, but I guess these kids nowadays need CGI all around them.
Oh, yeah. And
they need kinetic action.
All the time.
And
Can't have a crafted story.
Yeah.
A couple scenes where Arnold has guns.
Yeah.
He's got to have a minigun the entire time and just, like, float through on one of those wheelie hovercraft things and just have a Gatling gun shooting down everybody.
Right.
But, man, yeah. There's no pleasing.
Something that I noticed in Rise of Skywalker today. I wanted to mention, but now I just can't think of what it was. It was a certain gesture. Oh, did you notice, Ben? I didn't notice it the first time I watched it. When Rey passes the saber to him in the Sith Temple?
Yeah.
And Ben has a saber? Did you notice he shrugs like Han?
Really?
I didn't pick up on it the first time. He looks at Knights of Ren and makes like a shrug. The same thing Han kind of does. And that had to be obvious as a nod to his father. Because his father is Han, you know?
Maybe so.
But yeah, I didn't notice it the first time. The second time, he kind of gives like a Harrison Ford type shrug. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. And those little details like that, I guess that's what you watch these movies over and over again to notice those things.
I'm trying to see whenever because my uncle still has not seen Rise of Skywalker.
He is slacking.
He is.
Big time.
And he's been off for, you know, he works for the school. So if the school is on break, he doesn't work.
So he has no excuse.
Yeah, he had tons of time. If as big of a Star Wars fan as he is, you know, it's like
he's the one with us to Last Jedi, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he went to Last Jedi, and we all went to, you know, me, him, his son, and my cousin went to Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to see if I can, you know, mooch in on their Sunday. They're supposed to go see it Sunday, finally get it out of the way. Maybe I can go see it.
It might be a good way to wash away the Texans' loss tomorrow.
Yeah, I hope they don't lose. I really hope. If we lose to the Bills,
it's poetic justice, motherfucker. Look what happened in 1993.
Yeah, but that was an AFC Championship game.
No, it wasn't. It was a divisional round.
Oh, it was divisional round? Yeah. Who am I thinking of?
Oilers never made it to AFC Championship game.
Oh, that's right. We always made it to divisional.
You already know how I feel about Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
I know he's not going to get fired because they won the division, but damn it.
It is the Bills, so I guess...
anything's possible.
It is possible for us to be 35 points up.
But yeah, I think that's really all I've watched new this week. I was home, I've been playing God of War, Jedi Fallen Order, which I talked about on last week's episode, but that's really about it. You know, I guess I played more games this week. If I had been home, I could have watched new stuff, but I really chose not to. I chose to, I really wanted, my goal was before I go back to vacation, to log into your Vudu and watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I still have a couple of nights, so maybe I'll get it watched, because I really want to see that. But
did Michael play Destiny?
I still haven't downloaded
it.
I still haven't installed it. So I'll get around to it eventually. Yeah, you know, he's got games on his PS3 he plays. And he's been playing some Fallen Order down here, so, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
Eventually we'll get to it. But that's all I can think of. Download this.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks there's no more Mandalorian to talk about.
Yeah, it just feels like a gap in our show.
Yeah.
Now there's no Mandalorian to talk about.
I know. I'm sad. No more Stormtroopers punching Baby Yoda.
Yeah, I know, right?
But the Baby Yoda memes are all over the place.
They really are.
It's like he might be the most popular Star Wars character since Boba Fett, maybe.
Yeah.
In the 80s, or Darth Maul, maybe. I don't know. The Child, as they call it.
The Child.
But, oh well. Mandalorian will be back in the fall, before we know it. It's out 2020, so it feels like a long wait, but it might not be that bad.
Hopefully not.
You know, it's going to be weird, because we'll talk about this later in our 2020 movie preview, but 2020 will be the first time since 2015 or 2014 there's no Star Wars movie. We've had a Star Wars movie every year, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Wow.
But we do get Clone Wars and Mandalorian Season 2. So we get some stuff this year.
Oh, yeah.
Just no films. So it'll be kind of weird. So let's get into today's feature film then. As we're gearing up, like we said, towards our 100th film, and then gearing up after that towards episode 200. But we did some back-to-back animation. We did Batman Under the Red Hood last week.
Mm-hmm.
And a movie that I've been wanting to talk about for a while, just because, I know I really like this animated film, and that is Street Fighter II, the animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this might be the best video game movie ever made.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's easily argued. I can't think of any live action adaptation that compares to this. This is, it kind of, you know, it's funny because it came out in Japan in 94.
Mm-hmm. It August had been, of 94?
Yeah, it had been planned to be released in America, but Hollywood was making a Street Fighter movie with Van Damme. Mm-hmm. There is even a thing on the credits at the end of this says, look for Street Fighter coming to theaters next summer, filming now in Hollywood for 1995. But then, when the movie was a huge success in Japan, word is that, like, the studio kind of, well, we don't want this taken away from our live-action movie, yeah. So they never released it theatrically in America. Ended up going straight to home video, wow. And not even until 1996. Almost 2 years.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't come to home video until, like, late 95, early 96 in America.
Because it's credited with 94.
Right, that's when it came out. But it didn't make it to America until almost 2 years later. And I remember, I was in high school when this came out. So I remember hearing about this. I remember seeing advertisements for it in comic books, and I'm like, where is this movie? I had ordered a VHS copy at my comic store, and the guy ran the store, Chris, was like, yeah, it'll be here. It kept getting on back order. It was on back order for like a year, and finally it got released in America by Manga Entertainment. And it came in two versions. There was a red box that was the PG version, and a purple box that was the PG-13 uncut version. And we'll talk more about those different versions later, but summarize the film, Matt.
So, basically, this starts where Street Fighter 1 begins, or where Street Fighter 1 ends, where Ryu beat Sagat, and so they're looking for Ryu. And Shadow Law. I was like, why I wanted to call it Shadow Corp. Shadow Law, you know, headed by Bison, is looking for Ryu to get him to work for them and fight for them. He's got these cyborgs out looking for him. Beginning of the film, there's a sleeper agent that kills the president or prime minister?
Prime minister.
And so you get the gist of what Bison's doing. He's brainwashing these guys. He plans to do the same to Ryu. Well, he doesn't find him, but he finds Ken Masters after he has a run-in with one of his cyborgs. And you also have another side story with Guile and Chun-Li. So you've got the American forces.
They're searching for Bison.
And they're searching for Bison. Their moves are awesome. You know, her lightning kick against Vega. And Vega tries to hunt her down because Bison killed her father. This is like Bison's done everything bad to every fighter in this film. He killed Guile's brother. Or his friend. He killed his friend Charlie, and then he has a fight with Ken because he knows that to get to Ryu he needs to get to Ken, because ever since they fought whenever they were young, they've been destined to fight each other. So he uses this to brainwash Ken, and there's this ends with this epic fight with the. Ryu and Ken and Guile and E Honda fighting Balrog and Bison and where Sagat, I guess they sent him to the States.
Yeah.
To go check on something else.
Check on Vega and
the sleeper agent that got away.
Gammy.
And of course Bison gets defeated. But did he?
Right.
Because at the end, you know, he comes up in a truck. So it follows the plot of Street Fighter pretty well. They rotoscoped martial art fighters, and that's why the martial arts scenes look really good. Bryan Cranston was gonna.
Who is the voice of Fei Long?
Yeah, but they replaced him because of a union guild.
They used a different name, but it's his voice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he used a different name.
That's what it was. Okay, because I was like, did they give it to somebody else?
Fei Long was directly. Based off of Bruce Lee.
Yes. Yeah. And then they showed, Bruce Lee is also Chun-Li's master in the film. But, yeah, man, everything looks really good. The sonic boom from Guile's pretty good. It's ineffective. But, and the Hadouken fireball, is awesome. I like how it's, even the Prime version, I saw this on Prime, I know you've got the Blu-ray and it looks a whole lot better, but even the Prime version looked pretty good to me. I like that old school grainy animation just to show the dated animation of the movie. I like that in my Dragon Ball Z cartoons too, You know, a lot of people like Dragon Ball Kai. I like the regular Dragon Ball, even though some of the animation's a little cheesy. I like it. This is probably the third time I've seen this film. I haven't seen it a whole lot. Obviously, in 96, I was only 10 years old, right. So I really couldn't see this film. And I think I first saw this film in maybe 2015, 2016.
Yeah, it was on Netflix for a while.
Yeah.
It did before it moved to Prime.
It was on Netflix, moved to Prime. It's been on Prime for a while.
Yeah. And it used to air back when G4 was around. G4 would air this on TV a lot, too.
Yeah. Yep, with Olivia Munn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, man, you know, one thing I like about this movie is, too, that it's based on a video game, but, like, it never feels like it to me. It feels like this could be just a movie called Street Fighter, and never, if there was no game, you would still watch this because it's well done. Like their moves in it don't seem cheesy. Like when Chun-Li does the helicopter kick or they do the Hadoukens and all that.
Yeah.
It feels like it's part of the film and they don't over-explain it. You just accept the fact that Ryu and Ken have kind of these otherworldly powers where they can call on the power of lightning.
Yeah.
You accept that Bison has extra powers because... and they take a page. I wonder if they were somewhat influenced by Dragon Ball in this, with the power of the fighters and the fact that different fighters with multiple powers can do more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's a Kamehameha or whatever. In this, they can do more if they have more power. And I wonder if that. I'd be curious. I actually looked it up. I couldn't find anything direct influence on it, but I'd imagine it had to have been at some point.
I mean, they look like Kamehamehas.
You know,
yeah.
And it's super well animated. This film was a $6 million animated film. That's expensive for back then. Even for
them, well, they used twice as many writers as they normally would have because of the deadline.
Yeah. For anime, that was a high-budget film. It made $60 million in Japan, so it was very successful.
Very successful.
The VHS has sold over 500,000 copies in the U.S., so that was a large amount for an anime in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because now anime is... very accessible through Netflix and Hulu and everything else, and Blu-ray sales, Amazon. But in the 90s, that's extraordinary to sell 500,000 copies of a VHS tape.
Yeah.
You know?
That's impressive.
Yeah.
But, I wonder how it would have done if it was actually released in theaters. It'd probably...
Well, and I wonder
be on too, the same level as Akira.
And I wonder if some of it was because they had the Van Damme movie coming out, which wasn't very good. But I also wonder if anime in the mid-90s was still a niche thing. How successful would it have been if it was marketed right? Akira did well in theaters, but not super well, really. You know, it played in limited cities. Ghost of the Shell would come out the next year, 95, and it would have a limited release in theaters. It did okay, but you still had a real limited market for anime even at that time.
Yeah.
You know, Studio Ghibli films still were very limited markets at that time. You know, a lot of those were still being seen through cable and VHS. You know, Disney had not bought the rights yet to distribute those films. So anime in the mid-90s was still not even close to what it is now. So I wonder if that had to do with them pulling it theatrically and decided to put it out on a home video instead.
Yeah. Have you played Street Fighter 2 and Street Fighter 2 Turbo on SNES? Have you beaten it?
Oh, I don't remember. Those were years ago when I played them, but yeah.
I remember beating it.
I'm sure I did,
once, and I used Ken. I always liked using Ken. I always thought he was the coolest looking one. You know, the red gi, the long hair.
See, I'm a Ryu guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everyone loves Ryu. And then I'll play with him or Chun-Li. My son, Jake, he'll play with Blanca.
Mm.
He likes Blanca. Which there is a fight in this film between Blanca and Zangief.
Yeah.
Briefly.
That's probably the only scene in the movie that felt like a bit, like, let's get these other two fighters in. We don't know how to work them in the story.
Yeah.
So we do this scene where it's like a circus and they fight each other.
16 fighters to work into this.
Yeah. Game.
And they even get the... I forget the extra fighter.
Oh, Akuma?
Akuma.
Yeah, he's sitting there selling fruit in the background.
And then he just stands up, and then that's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you said, they did their best to squeeze everyone in.
And I felt like there was a missed opportunity there when the bad guys shoot up the town in India there. Akuma could have maybe, like, jumped in and helped Ryu, and then just shook his hand, but thank you, even though Akuma ends up being a bad guy in the movies, maybe they could have done that. Because I think at some point, they kind of set this up where it felt like maybe they were going to do another movie. And they did do the Street Fighter 2 TV series, which is a sort of sequel to this, but doesn't really continue the continuity. But it is the same studio, the same writers and all that. They went on to make Street Fighter 2 V.
Yeah.
And it's some of the same voice actors and stuff, too, in that.
Yeah, they brought back Honda. And his character is very, very funny.
Yeah, it brings some humor to the... Because this movie's very serious for a fighting movie, you know?
Yeah. So, he's a good comic relief.
Yeah.
And, you know, not your typical comic relief, but he's got some jokes. And,
yeah.
And it flows pretty well.
He used to annoy me playing the game and somebody would do a super fast punch and I'm like, stop doing that.
It's like you couldn't get ahead of him. They would just corner you and just do that the whole time. That's why it's like I liked Ken or Ryu. I would just Hadouken the entire time.
Yeah.
And that's who I would play.
And this movie caused some controversy when it came out for its violence for an anime based on a video game that children played. And there's two different versions. Well, there's like four different versions of the film. There's a PG-13-ish version where there's, like, very little blood. Most of the Vega Chun-Li fight is very cleaned up. Not a lot of blood in it.
Yeah.
Saget getting hit at the beginning where the blood cuts out of his chest, it's very toned down. It's not as red. And there's no nudity. Yes, there's a nude scene in this movie. Then there's a PG-13 version where you get more blood in the Vega Chun-Li fight and the Saget fight. And then you get a little bit of nudity. Like, they show Chun-Li's backside.
Yeah.
And you see her breasts very briefly. Then the third, from what I was reading about these, there's so many different versions, the way they were cut in different countries. The main version that's out now, which is considered the definitive version, it's like 106 minutes, so it's a few minutes longer than the cut version, about 4 minutes longer. The Vega Chun-Li fight is longer, so there's more violence. Mm-hmm. The Saget fight's more violence. And then there's definitely full nudity of Chun-Li, where it focuses on her butt for a minute and her chest.
Yes.
And it lasts longer. It's toned down in the PG-13 version where you see that, but it's only a brief second. Mm-hmm. And that's what I garnered from the different versions. And I guess there's one of the Guile fights is more violent in the movie. There's some blood in that. Because the Saget and the Chun-Li scene doesn't feel like 3 or 4 minutes. There must be some other little things throughout that make it 3 or 4 minutes longer.
Yeah. From what
I was garnering. I don't know the different versions enough to know the differences. But that was a big deal for them to have nudity and this much violence in this film, for a film that was based on a video game that kids play, you know?
Yeah, for real.
So,
adding that scene in there, it's like, I enjoyed it, but was it necessary?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, there's absolutely no reason to show Chun-Li naked, but I'm not complaining about it either. And, and everybody's like, oh, those are cartoon boobs, our perfs. Yeah, oh well.
Still, it's hey, everyone loves
watching. Like I said earlier in the show, I'm not apologizing for being who I am anymore.
Exactly.
But it was a selling point in Japan, so they wanted to sell the movie like that. In America, that's why they released different versions. They're like, well, we can't sell a video game movie for kids and have nudity in, so they had to sell the cut version and all that.
Yeah.
And I remember searching for the VHS version. It was actually hard to find the uncut version. Everywhere they sold the red box that was edited. You know, you had to search for the PG-13 version.
Yeah.
You know, and now... Oh, excuse me, I've been having indigestion this whole show. And now they, obviously, they have been in Blu-ray. The movie's much more accessible to get in the uncut version. There was also different soundtracks. The American release, they put bands like Alice in Chains and Korn and Silverchair there. They wanted to play up the music in the Americas. But then there's also the original Japanese track that was more orchestral, more classic, you know, Japanese, Hong Kong-style music in the film. I've watched it with both versions. To me, the 90s rock music doesn't really add anything to the movie, so I'm okay with watching the other version, too.
Oh, yeah.
Except for the Vega Chun-Li fight. I do like that song. I don't know who sings that.
Silverchair.
No, that's not. Silverchair is when Ken's in the car.
Oh, okay.
But the Vega Chun-Li fight, the heavy metal music does go pretty well with the fight.
Yeah.
And that is a brutal fight.
That really is.
And, I mean...
She's, like, losing so much blood, she's about to pass out, and then she just whips out her lightning kick, kicks him through the wall.
Yeah. And then Kyle comes in and saves her. This movie's also made notes for having a complete scene that was filmed, animated, and everything they took out of the movie. And it's not in any version. It's on the deleted scenes on Blu-ray. And that's during the Saget-Ryu fight at the beginning, where Saget grabs Ryu by the head and knees him in the head several times. And even the Japanese censors and felt that it was just too much. They took that out.
Okay.
The movie was already violent enough. It was just a few seconds, but you can watch it on the deleted scenes on Blu-rays. And that's pretty unheard of. Most time when they completely animate something, very rarely... Rarely do they cut it out because the cost of animation is so much.
Mm-hmm.
But that was cut out of the film. I'm curious why they didn't put that back in the Blu-ray releases. you know, maybe just no interest in re-editing the film after all these years, you know.
And they did have that deadline.
Yeah. You know, they well, I mean, I'm talking now with recent Blu-ray releases.
Yeah.
Why did they edit that back into the film? Yeah,
there's definitely no deadline right now.
But it could be one of those things where the studio puts out the Blu-ray, just has the rights to distribute it, but they don't have the right to actually re-edit the film, possibly, you know.
That makes sense.
What it is, so. You know, but overall, man, we mentioned before we started talking about the movie that, you know, video game movies have taken a lot of flack for not being very good or being, you know, generally received as just popcorn flicks. You know, we had the Resident Evil movies. Mm-hmm. Mortal Kombat is arguably one of the better ones. Silent Hill's not bad. But this could very well be, or probably is, the best video game movie made.
I think so.
You know, it represents the game well. It's well crafted. It's a good story. It's exciting. It's action packed. There's not really a slow moment in the movie.
Yeah.
And it gets the point across for telling the story of Street Fighter, and way better than the Van Damme movie, that's for sure. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and it spawned a offset of animes based on fighting films. There was a Tekken movie. Fatal Fury movie. There were several movies that came out after this, but none of them were well received like Street Fighter was.
No.
And this was a well received movie. Critics generally liked this movie. You know, it did well. It sits at like a 7.4 on IMDb, so this is a pretty well received anime film too.
Yeah, good acting.
And I give it a solid A. I think it's really good.
I think it's a solid A as well. Yeah. I don't think there's much better. You could still argue that, you know, Akira's the best animated.
Right, but there's so such different films, though, you know.
Yeah,
and 7 or 8 years sooner too than this, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, but
you know, take your pick. I still think it's an A.
Yeah.
If you know it's on someone's top two list for anime films, it's still an A.
What's funny is this movie. Sometimes people tend to forget about this. You mentioned her like, oh yeah, I remember that. It kind of got lost between Akira and Ghost in the Shell. Those big releases in the 80s. Because, you know, like I said, anime was very niche back then. But then you had Akira and Ghost in the Shell were up here above everything else because they were major releases. And Street Fighter 2 kind of got lost in that shuffle. You know, you kind of had to be in the know to know about Street Fighter 2, the animated movie.
Yeah, you had to be well informed and go to your anime shops.
Yeah.
I remember there was I forget what the name of the shop was, but it's like it was the only place I knew where you could buy the Dragon Ball Z animated subtitle, Japanese subtitle mm-hmm. version, and all my friends would get their season DVDs from over there.
Yeah.
But my mom always just got the English dub.
Well, the comic shop I used to shop at, he had a little rental section, and I would rent a lot of anime from his little VHSs.
That's cool.
And that's where I discovered a lot of things that I probably forgotten since. But, you know, I remember watching stuff that he had there for rent, and you just rent from the comic store and bring it back. It was like $1. Take a VHS home for a couple days and bring it back, you know?
How times have changed.
Yeah, I know. Now you just turn your TV on and you can stream all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But Street Fighter 2, the animated movie, man. A good animated film. It's on Amazon Prime right now if you want to check it out. If you've never seen it before. And, man, good stuff.
Good stuff.
You know? So, let's get into... before we do some news, there's not a whole lot of news. We're going to preview some 2020 films. Yeah. It is the beginning of the year. So we're gonna look at what's coming this year. I'm just gonna read off some movies, and we'll talk about where they are on their radar. The first part of the year. We got No Time to Die coming out in April. You know,
that'll be.
I'm always down for Bond. You know, I like what Daniel Craig's done with the character so far. Everybody has their favorite Bond. We talked about this just a few weeks ago in the Spy Who Loved Me episode. If this is his last outing, I hope he goes out well. And I don't know if it seems like it will be. You know, I hope they can kind of conclude the story of Blofeld that they started.
Yes.
And kind of, I wouldn't mind them at all kind of concluding the Craig films in this film. Then in a few years, we get a new Bond, just whatever. Not necessarily reboot it, but let's let Craig finish his story, if that makes sense.
Yeah, let him finish his arc.
Yeah.
Not pull a Connery and come back and do...
No, I don't think he'll do that.
Never Die Twice, or...
Whatever it was. Never Say Never Again.
Never Say Never Again.
The next big Marvel movie is Black Widow. Saw the trailer again today when I saw Star Wars. The trailer doesn't do... It just feels like coming off the Endgame and Far From Home. It just feels kind of light. I'm sure it'll be
like
fine.
A filler.
I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm curious when it takes place. There's been rumors that it takes place right after Winter Civil War, you know, where she gets sent on a mission to do some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, I'll go see. It's freaking Marvel.
Yeah, it's Marvel.
It's Skojo.
And we're not going to get anything until Eternals
in November.
Yeah.
And that's the next Marvel movie. We can talk about that. We're not doing this in any particular order. I'm really curious about this. You know, Kevin Feige has said in some interviews that you're going to get a really good feel of where the Marvel Universe is headed next through the Eternals movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm very curious. I have a feeling it's going to deal with Celestials and other beings that are out there besides Thanos. I don't know a lot about the Eternals, so I'm kind of really curious about what it's going to be. You know? Yeah.
I know that the Eternals are a race, and Thanos was the strongest of all the Eternals.
Right.
And I think you're spot on. I think they're going to go cosmic.
Yeah.
This is indicative of where they're going to go. So I can't wait for that. Yeah. November. It's going to probably be the best movie in November.
Yeah.
But well, I don't think it has any competition, really.
Shouldn't it?
Yeah.
DC's got a couple things. We've got, in a couple months, we have Birds of Prey. Everybody's kind of somewhat making fun of this movie. So people just don't seem high on it.
Yeah.
You know, I will watch Margot Robbie lick a lollipop all day. Yes. So I'll go watch her play Harley Quinn one more time. we'll see. I don't know what really to make of this movie. It's one of those movies, I guess you kind of have to wait till it comes out and judge it for itself. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of how I feel about Birds of Prey. Then in the summer, Wonder Woman 84. Man, this looks awesome. Patty Jenkins, we already know she gets it. We saw Wonder Woman 1. She gets it. You know, and I think Wonder Woman 84 is going to be no exception. The trailer looks great.
Pine's coming back.
Yeah, it looks like kind of reverse roles where he's rediscovering the world.
Yeah.
You know, in this one. But, man, when she steps out of the car in that white dress, you realize, like, that's why she's so good in this role. Yeah. She's just absolutely beautiful.
She is.
Top Gun Maverick. This is high on my list this year for some reason, man. I just think when the music kicks in the trailer.
Late April? Or June.
It's in June. Okay. This is high on my list this year, one of my most anticipated movies. Maybe the nostalgic factor is just getting me when that music kicks in the trailer. But, man, I can't wait. I was seeing a thing where, like, man, you know, a lot of these jets, they really flew.
Yeah.
They put the actors in the jets with pilots to film their facial reactions and stuff.
That's freaking awesome.
And have them doing the G-forces and all that. Because Tom Cruise said, if we're going to do this, we have to make it look real. That's insane, man. They said it's never been done before. Probably will never be done again with the advent of CGI, but they wanted this to look like a movie about aviation and about how real it is.
That's awesome. It's going to be great. I just know it.
Yeah, I look forward to it a lot. The new Christopher Nolan film, Tenet. This looks really interesting.
I feel like I really don't know what the film is about, but I'm intrigued.
I think that's what's so great about Nolan is, like, I love his Batman films, but, man, his original stuff is so good, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you go look at Memento and Inception and even Dunkirk, man. I've watched Dunkirk a couple of times now. And Dunkirk is one of those, you kind of have to watch it two or three times to appreciate it more.
Yeah,
time I watched it, I was kind of like, eh. The second time, I was like, okay. And I feel like one more viewing of Dunkirk is really going to make me really see what it really was supposed to be. Because I think Nolan's a brilliant filmmaker. And Tenet looks great, man. Looks like another kind of mystery kind of type film that he's good at doing.
Yeah. There hasn't been a Nolan film that I haven't liked. I even saw Insomnia whenever I was a lot younger. We snuck in to see it because it was rated R.
Are you tired of the Fast and Furious franchise yet?
Man, I kind of am. I wish it would have ended with Brian, you know, dying. And then
Paul,
they go there.
Paul Walker.
Yeah.
I mean, they got number 9 coming out, dude.
Isn't it like his ghost?
I don't know. I haven't even bothered seeing the trailer for it.
I could have sworn someone told me it was Brian's ghost.
Why?
And it's like, can you just stop?
Ghostbusters, we talked about.
Trailer
a couple weeks ago. This should be a big movie. You know, it should be hopefully better than the one with the females. And not knocking the females in that movie. It just wasn't a good movie.
Yeah.
You know, they're bringing back the original surviving cast for this one with Egon's grandchildren, it looks like. So, mm-hmm. You know, my 4-year-old's super excited. I'm not a week goes by and you don't get asked, when's it coming out, Dad? Like, it's in June. You got to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You know?
Some toys and stuff.
King Kong vs. Godzilla got pushed back till November. That's probably the Eternals' only big competition later. I know.
Yeah.
I know Long is disappointed. He's not here to talk about it. He was hoping this would be out in March, but maybe it's better if they're not rushing the movie and get it out the right way.
Yeah.
Because Godzilla, King of the Monsters, it's a fun movie as far as monster action, and I get why Godzilla fans love it so much because it's that big CGI, real looking monster fest I always wanted. But there's so much that's not good about King of Monsters 2. that hopefully you can correct that with Kong vs. Godzilla, make a better movie than King of Monsters even was.
Yeah.
So maybe pushing it back was a good idea. It looks like the New Mutants movie is finally going to get released this year. Does anybody care at this point?
I don't think anyone really cares. I think people are surprised that it actually is going to get a release.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were going to scrap all those Fox projects.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. Well, so we'll see what happens. And then I didn't realize that, I guess, Morbius, the living vampire, is still on track for later this year. Wow. I guess Jared Leto's already started filming it. He's playing Morbius along with Venom 2. So a couple movies from the Spider-Man universe. I guess I knew Venom 2 had started filming already because Tom Hardy confirmed it. So I guess that's coming out later this year. And, you know, Venom, even if you didn't like Venom, Venom was a massive hit. It made a lot of money at the box office. It looks like they're going to bring Carnage into part 2.
Yeah,
so I don't hate Venom, man. I've watched it a couple of times now since. And
it
grows on me. There's parts of it I can't stand at all. But there's parts of it that I'm like, okay, you know, it's kind of cool, you know.
Yeah, like maybe the movie changed direction, different way that it was going to go, like halfway through the film.
And, yeah.
I feel like maybe the second one, now that we have a lot of exposition out of the way, the second film with Carnage will be a whole lot more
some good stuff.
Yeah.
Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Yeah. With their daughters.
I guess I got to trust Keanu on this, man. It's real similar to the Tom Cruise thing. Tom wasn't going to do Top Gun 2 unless he knew it was going to be good. And Keanu's career has been so good lately with the John Wick films. I guess I got to trust him that he's not going to do it unless they know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't feel I need this movie at all, but yet I feel like I'm going to go watch the fucking shit out of this movie, too. You know? Does that make sense? You know? It's more and more nostalgic for me than you because you're a little bit younger.
Aren't they using George Carlin's granddaughter?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
as,
you know.
For his old role.
You're a big horror fan. Halloween Kills coming out this Halloween.
Really?
As they're going to... well, they announced two more films. They're filming them back-to-back. They're going to end the Michael Myers saga once and for all. The studio's promising this is it. No more come back from the dead. Once we finish all these, they're done. I guess they're doing Halloween Kills. I can't remember. They gave a name for the third one already. They're going to be released back-to-back years in 20 and 21.
Man.
So, so the end of Michael Myers is coming. Apparently, Eddie Murphy's still planning to shoot Coming to America 2 for later this year. Another 80s nostalgia film making a comeback.
Wow.
I don't know. We'll see. Another Minions movie coming out this year. The Scoob, the animated Scooby-Doo film. That actually looks kind of interesting. It looks like I touched on all the big ones that our show would even cover. One I did not touch on because this leads into the news. Did you watch the trailer for A Quiet Place 2?
Yes, I did.
Dude, doesn't it look intense? That comes out in March.
Saving.
You know, A Quiet Place is one that I was late in the game on. You know, I didn't see it in theaters. I watched it on home video.
Yeah.
And I really like it a lot. I think it's pretty ingenious. And Krasinski's directing is fantastic. He's directed the new one. I also felt like I don't need another one because I felt like this world exists. It is what it is. We move on. But then I saw the trailer. I'm like, okay, I can do this. You know?
It's kind of creepy to me.
Yeah. Get to see a little bit about how the world started that way with some flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Get to see the human side of it, what else is going on with the other humans in this world. So, cool, I think.
I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah, March. It comes out March, pretty soon.
Yeah, it's an earlier release.
Yeah. WandaVision is going to hit this year on Disney Plus. So, you know, we thought we were only getting the Falcon Winter Soldier this fall, but we're going to get WandaVision also, apparently, fall too. Up. So they moved it up a little bit. So I think that's good news. We were sitting here talking earlier in the show about No More Mandalorian. Well, we got some Marvel stuff to look forward to this fall also. So, hey, I'm down, you know.
It'll be a good filler until we get that season 2 of The Mandalorian back.
We did a video game movie today on the show with Street Fighter 2. And they've been throwing around doing an Uncharted film for a couple years now. Tom Holland's attached to star as Nathan Drake, and Mark Wahlberg is attached to star as his mentor. But Travis Knight, who directed Bumblebee, was attached to direct it. He's now off the project due to obligations. I like the Uncharted games, but I just think enough. Okay, let's just kill the film at this point. The reason it got pushed back is Tom Holland apparently is going to start shooting Spider-Man 3 as early as February or March.
Wow.
And they want to start shooting Uncharted around the same time. But Holland's contract with Marvel Studios outweighs his contract for Uncharted, so Travis Knight doesn't want to stick around and wait for Holland to finish. So it just feels like, just drop this movie.
Yeah, you know, just don't do it.
We have an Uncharted film. It's called Indiana Jones. You know, and don't get me wrong, I like the Uncharted games, and I like the story of Nathan Drake, but leave him in the video games.
Yeah, some people come up with these ideas to make a buck.
This kind of went by the wayside last week, because we had our big year-end episode, but Ryan Reynolds officially announced that he is working with Marvel Studios on Deadpool 3. Not that this was a huge secret, but I guess it gave us some confirmation, because we hadn't heard anything. You know, Kevin Feige had thrown around like, oh yeah, we're interested in doing another Deadpool. Yeah, we might make it rated R, but we hadn't heard anything official until now.
Yeah.
As Ryan Reynolds says, yes, I have had meetings, we're working on script ideas and things like that. So I guess it made it kind of official that Deadpool 3 is coming from Marvel Studios. I think a good idea would be to, I would love to see him make a cameo in one of the MCU films before he does his film. I don't see why there would be a place for him in Black Widow or even the Eternals. You know, but I don't know how you would do it, but maybe at some point. And after that, we have Shang-Chi, and then...
Oh, Shang-Chi, yeah.
And then the Doctor Strange film. You know, those are coming out early next year.
That's going to be real cool.
So, but yeah, so Deadpool 3. It'll be interesting to see how Deadpool works in the MCU.
I'm sure, though. They've got a plan for him.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I was thinking about the Deadpool movies. They're not so far off the grid that you couldn't retcon the Deadpool movies, at least, into the MCU. You can do it, because they're only loosely tied to the X-Men films. You know?
Because, especially since he has...
And basically a shield carrier in part one.
Yeah.
Even though they weren't allowed to call it that. So, you know. So we'll see. But that's all the news, man. It was kind of a slow week. It's on another holiday. We're doing back-to-back holiday week episodes, so, you know, not much going on as far as news and stuff like that, so... But now that the year's kicking off, hopefully things get rolling and we get some news.
Oh, yeah.
More trailers for summer movies will start coming out soon, I'm sure. And things will all start happening this year. But yeah, that's it. We got a preview next week's movie. Shit, yeah. I'm sitting there going, that's it. We're not even done yet. Next week, man, we're going to get back. We did a couple animated films that are more of a niche market. But we're going to do a movie that's super popular next week. One of the most popular films of all time, possibly. Maybe one of the greatest comedy action movies of all time, and that is The Princess Bride.
Grandfather's here.
Can't you tell me I'm sick? He'll pinch my cheek. I hate that.
Maybe he won't.
Hey, how is this sick? Huh? I brought you a special present.
What is it?
It was the book my father used to read to me when I was sick, and I used to read it to your father. And today, I'm going to read it to you.
It was a time when life didn't seem so complicated.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
What?
What? What?
I'm killing myself once we reach the honeymoon suite.
Wouldn't that be nice?
A courtly age. Of gentle conversation.
I will always come for you.
But how can you be sure?
This is true love.
Oh, no. Is this a kissing book?
No. Actually, there was a lot of treachery. Peril. And revenge.
Prepare to die.
Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line!
There were affairs of state.
But I've got my country's 500th anniversary to plan, my wedding to arrange, my wife to murder, and Gilda to frame for it. I'm swamped.
And affairs of the heart.
My Wesley will always come for me.
Your Wesley is dead.
I've seen worse.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
It's more than turning.
What's the difference? We've got him.
Think it'll work?
To take a miracle.
Goodbye!
It's a story of love. A tale of adventure. It's as real as the feelings you feel.
I'm kissing again.
Someday you may not mind so much.
The Princess Bride. Not just your basic, average, everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill, ho-hum fairy tale.
This is a movie that I've had a few people ask me, hey, when are you going to do The Princess Bride? This has been brought up a few times. I'm like, oh yeah, we're going to do it eventually. We're going to do it eventually. So this movie has been asked for. And I'm not bullshitting that. I have asked people. People have asked me, hey, you should do The Princess Bride. This is a super popular film. I've never met anyone on the planet that doesn't like this movie. Because if you don't like this movie, there's something wrong with you.
It's everything. It's a drama, it's a romance, it's an action, it's a comedy.
There's something wrong with you if you don't like this movie. It's just one of those movies that you can put on, the family can watch it, there's something in it for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like you said, romance, comedy, action. It's just good. It's just that well done. And it's a perfect movie to do right before our 100th film. And it's going to be fun to talk about. It's a longtime favorite film of mine. Most people, I think a lot of people that you could easily say, hey, if you were taking 10 movies to an island and you had to take Princess Bride, no one's going to complain about having to watch this movie on an island, you know, because it's such a good movie. Based on a book, of course, that was a very, not a real well-known book, but, you know, it was based on a book, and it should be fun to watch. And,
I know, I'm going to have fun.
Yeah, I own it on Blu-ray, and I don't know if it's streaming anywhere or not, but it's not hard to find a copy of The Princess Bride out there somewhere. You know, it's a very accessible movie. So that's on next week's show, and hopefully Long is back next week.
Hopefully so.
From his, I don't know.
Hiatus?
Hiatus, yeah. Or mission.
Rest?
You know.
Date?
Something. I don't know.
Cooking class?
Maybe he just had to stay home and jerk off. Fuck, I don't know.
Maybe. I don't want to.
Maybe the roommates were out of the house. It's the only time he had. He's like, oh, roommates are going down. he's going to fucking murder me next week.
Pull out the lotion and the nap.
Yeah. We better be ready next week when he walks in. We got to be on the defensive. He's going to be like, you motherfuckers.
Put on Mikey's football armor.
But you got to have some fun with him if he misses his show. And he didn't miss a show all year.
No, he didn't.
So, we've got a dog to punish it. But, in all honesty, though, he's probably going to take a step back in 2020 and not do as many episodes. So, he'll be on the show sometimes, and that's okay. So, we had it officially announced that. We knew it was coming. But I guess that is the official announcement that Law might take a step back. But he's not officially off yet. He just took the night off. Yeah. He's going to be back the next couple of weeks for sure. So, but that's all I got for today, though. As always, go to RebelRadioPodcast.com for all your Rebel Radio needs. Join our Patreon. First episode of the year is coming out here by the end of the month. Your first Patreon episode will be in your listening ears for our Patreon listeners, because it helps us on the show. It helps us supply you with the buttons and stickers and cool stuff. Yes. And keep bringing you the show from week to week that we really enjoy doing. And until next time, like I said, go to RebelRadioPodcast.com, join our Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. And we will see you next week as the year has begun. And this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
And as always, remember, just go there and do it.
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.